Doesn't seem like all that long ago, but it was 1978 that Garrett Boone and Kip Tindall founded the Container Store out in around SMU. And by golly, it's flourished and it's grown and it's evolved. And finally, Kip Tindall is stepping down and he joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you, David. So happy to be here.
This thing moved like a glacier for so long. It'd be a real slow expansion. You grudgingly increase the size of the stores and then bang, all at once. It looks like, you know, it looked like it caught on.
Well, we, you know, you say by golly, I mean, by cracky, people liked it. But we spent a long time trying to make sure that we wanted to ever have more than one store, because like the one barbecue, you know, you can kind of perfect that one store. But, you know, actually we grew at more than 20% a year. We haven't done that recently, but from, you know, the compounded annual growth rate from inception, I think is still somewhere around 20%. So we just thought we could grow at 20% and keep everything great. And we did that. And we finally got over the notion of having multiple stores. But rather than just seeing how many stores we could open, we were just trying to truly investigate this wonderful concept of a store devoted to things that help you save space and save time. And we weren't growing for growth's sake. We were growing because, you know, there was a demand for it, and there was a lot of product that we could, the bigger we were, the more wonderful product that we could create, because volume is necessary to do that at an economical price.
You know, it's sort of, you reminded me of Southwest Airlines. It's, everybody heard about it, and everybody wanted one, and cities were petitioning to get one. So I started thinking, as an outsider, I saw two unique ingredients. One is the products. I could go into a Container Store needing nothing and walk out 45 minutes later with two bags that I had found of things that I didn't know existed. And the other was really unique people, very unique people that were helping you. Talk about finding the items. How do you do that?
Well, I mean, you covered it. It's the product and the people. And my wife, Sharon Tindall, has always been the chief merchant, and she's currently the president of the company. And I think she has the greatest job doing the product thing, developing the products, finding the products, working with the merchandising and whatnot. But Garrett and I, the first year, she joined us after the first year, and we kind of punished her for missing that first year. Most people still just refer to Garrett and Kip, but Sharon probably did more than both of us combined. But choosing that product, obviously, for a retail business, and we just got so excited about it. We would go on vacation with these vendors that we became friends with and create the world's most perfect shoebox, and that's the kind of thing we got excited about. But then people also usually say, you know, your people are so happy. Best company to work for in America 2 years in a row, number two years in a row. That was joyful, too. We just thought the most important thing in the world was who we hired to staff our store, to wait on our customers. And, you know, when you go in the store, that person that's trying to help you with your shoe storage or toy storage has very likely worked there 8 or 11 years. They actually know what they're doing.
Well, you know, but it's, my sense is that's all by design, because you pay well, they're very happy. You certainly practice what you preach about conscious capitalism. But also, there has to be a real science to hiring, to finding that right person that can relate and empathize and carry on a bright conversation. It's got to be tough hiring.
Well, it's really joyful hiring, too, because I think it's important that you like the person that you're interviewing. Don't hire them if you don't like them. You know, yeah. I mean, that sounds weird, and people are afraid to do that, but that's a good criteria. You know, we look for a lot of energy. We look for traditional values, lots of diversity, but traditional values. Traditional values means it's wrong to hold up a 7-Eleven, you know, that kind of traditional value, but all types of people. There's a certain Midwestern people orientation that we probably looked for, coming from the South, and so there's very much a family feeling among all the employees of the Container Store, and I think that extends to the customers. The most delightful things to Garrett and Sharon and John Mullen and all of us was that people would join the Container Store and they would never leave. I mean, we had such low turnover in an industry that has such high turnover, and also that customers don't like the Container Store, they love the Container Store. So if your employees love the company, then probably your customers are going to love the company. And we actually put the employee first. We're an employee first organization. And if you actually take better care of the employee than anybody else, well, then really they're going to take better care of the customer than anybody else. And if those two people are ecstatic, well, then you're going to really have something good going on.
So you, after 40 years, you have the right to sit back and assess the industry and to see the future. What is the future right now? We hear, you know, bricks and mortars out, that it's just a place to go and look at stuff, and then people are going to go back and buy it on the internet. And we've seen a lot of bricks and mortar retailers go by the wayside. We've also seen Container Store evolve, and I gather based on a North Dallas store that you're going to be opening pretty soon, there's going to be another revolution.
Well, you know, retail went through a real transition the last 5, 7, 8 years. It's far more than Amazon. I think people are not consuming as much as they used to, so that a well-to-do, our target customer, female, is probably buying, I don't know, Karen Katz, the just retired CEO, Neiman Marcus, and I love to talk about this. They're only buying a certain percentage as much as her mother did. I mean, you know, of anything, of housewares, of clothing, we are not as consumptive as we used to be. Certainly, certainly people 30 years old today are not as consumptive as boomers were when they were 30 years old. And that's a big part of it, but so is the whole bricks and mortar thing. But don't, you know, 86 or 87% of consumer spending in the United States is still bricks and mortar. You know, that's changing dramatically. It's quite a few percentage points changing each year. But I had the thrill of being chairman of the National Retail Federation for several years. And what that really means is that I get to kind of hang out with and talk shop to every major retailer in the country. Yeah. And we still don't know everything that's going on, but we're changing. We're evolving. Retail is very different than it was when Stanley Marcus wonderfully spent a lot of time with Garrett and me teaching us everything that he knew. It's not exactly the same game, but we think that at the Container Store, and I think most retailers are settling into the fact that you've got to find something that you do that nobody else can do as well as you. In our case, that's really becoming more and more this whole custom closet thing. You know, most people are not trying to do that. They don't have the sales staff to do that. They don't want to do that. And so more and more we have to focus on that which we can do really better than anything, and I think that's our real evolution ticket there.
All right, so you step away at the end of the month. What are you going to do? I mean, you don't even have to take your required minimum distribution from your retirement plan yet. You're a very young man. You've got the book out, Uncontainable: How Passion, Commitment, and Conscious Capitalism Built a Business Where Everybody Thrives. You could cut down that title for one thing.
Well, just uncontainable. That's the second title. But, yeah, Sharon and I are so delighted. I mean, my goodness, you've heard of Just Married. This Just Retired thing is so amazing. I thought I was the luckiest and happiest guy in the world, but I'm five times as happy now because we've kind of been semi-retired for a few months. You're doing what you want to do. Like when Monet paints the water lilies, was he working or playing? He was doing what he wanted to do. But all we've done for 41 years is work. And so to be able to, well, sort of have some freedom, we feel like college kids. We can do whatever the heck we want. And it's thrilling.
I'd say sleep in is one thing I do. But so let me end with a thing that I picked up a couple of times, and then you have too. This idea of conscious capitalism. John Mackey was on the show here, I don't know, a couple of years ago. I know he's a great friend of yours. In fact, an old, I guess, roommate of yours. The concept's been picked up by a lot of other people. Brian Schultz has been on talking about it. This is something that's important to you, isn't it?
It really is. It's kind of my main cause. I think the best way to change the world for the better is by changing the world of business for the better. Capitalism's not a bad thing. Capitalism, like anything, needs to evolve and be tinkered with and be improved. So we're working to take the orientation of only the shareholder matters to, you know, the best way to enrich the shareholder and to enrich society is to be a stakeholder model as opposed to a shareholder model. In the end, the shareholder would do better, but what's important is that you focus on the employee, on the community, on the vendor, and the shareholder. if you just focus entirely on the shareholder, the business loses its magic, and the employees are unhappy, and the vendors are unhappy, and in the end, the shareholder's unhappy too. So, you know, you have Whole Foods versus maybe some more traditional grocery stores. Here in Dallas, we have Southwest Airlines versus more some traditional airlines. You know, those companies, I think their employees love their business, and I think that makes their customers love their business. I think it's a better way of doing business. Everybody's happier, and you do better financially.
Well, your employees always sang your praises for the last 41 years. That must have greased the skids a little bit. Kip Tindall retiring from his baby, the Container Store. Have a lot of fun.
Thank you so much. It's been something. We've loved every minute of it. Thanks.
You're going to know you're retired when American takes away your executive platinum card. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.